we're going to start the seventh parak. Shlosha she'achlu ka'achas, three people who ate as one. And the Gemara will discuss what that means. What do you have to do to be considered eating as one? All different kinds of possibilities. Have to start together, finish together, have kavana to eat together, whatever. But whatever that means, three people ate as a group. Chayovin l'zami. They're chayiv not only to bench, they're chayiv to bench b'mezumin. And whether this halacha is min ha-Torah, you see we learn it from Psukim, or only the Rabbanan, and also we'll go into as we go through. And what exactly the Zimun is, also we'll discuss as we go on. Some say the Zimun is up until the beginning of Ahazonis Ha'olam, and some say that includes that bracha is also part of the Zimun. But that we'll wait till we get to it. So now, Ochal D'mai, U'maisa Rishon Shenitla Trumaso, U'maisa Sheni V'Hegdi Shenitlu, V'Hashamish Ochal Kezayis, V'Hakusi Mezam Nimalov. Okay, all of these things, the Gemara will explain, there would be a Havamina to say that these things are not Hoshava eating, because they're somewhat Osir, okay, and since they're somewhat Osir, they are... what's it called? Not considered either. They're not considered a choshev achila that you can consider people have eaten together, right? Or for the fact that something that's usher you don't make a zimun on, because the person who ate these things that are not allowed to be eaten, the other people couldn't have eaten with him. They couldn't have eaten what he ate. And therefore, what's it called? There's no zimun. Either because it's not considered a chabura, it's not considered a an achila chashuba, so the Vihava means to say in these things also, they're not exactly things that you're allowed to eat, but they're not exactly also either. So the chiddush is that even if you ate these things, you can be you can make a zimur. Okay. So what is it? Demai is tvua. Right, that an Am Ha'aretz says he took off Trumas and Maestras, but we don't trust him. And the halacha is that a chaver, right, has to take off Trumas and Maestras again, okay? And even though you have to take off Trumas and Maestras again, we assume that most Amei Ha'aretz do take off Trumas and Maestras. It's only a chumrah to take off Demai, it's a chumrah you have to do. But it's only a chumrah, and therefore, if somebody ate demai, right, he what's it called can be mitzdarif to a zimun. U'maiserishon shenitla trumaso. If somebody ate maiserishon, that the trumas maiser was taken off. Okay, the maiser like this: you take off 1/10 of the crop, that goes for maiserishon. When you give it to the levy, the Levi has to take out of that Trumas Meiser and give 1/10 of his tenth to the Kohen. Okay? So if you had Meiser Rishon, which had the Trumas Meiser taken from it, and you ate that, you also can make can also be counted for a Mezumin. The Gemara is going to ask, of course, that's what you're supposed to do with it. It's regular food. Right? So the Gemara will discuss each one of these things, what the Chiddush is. Meiser Sheni v'Hegdi Sheniftu. Or if you had Meiser Sheni, the halacha is you can't eat Meiser Sheni except in Yerushalayim. But if you're polde it, right, you redeem it, then the kedusha goes on the money. The fruit, grain, you can eat outside Yerushalayim. You bring the money to Yerushalayim and exchange it for food product. So if you had Meiser Sheni, food from Meiser Sheni that you redeemed, where you can eat it outside Yerushalayim, and you ate it outside Yerushalayim, you also count for a mezumen. So the Gemara is going to ask, of course, that's what you're supposed to do with it. The Hegdish, Hegdish also. Hegdish, if you eat Hegdish, you're over on Me'ila. But if you poda the Hegdish, right, you redeem it, so then you what's it called, the Hegdish becomes Chulin, and the money becomes Kodesh. So if you ate Hegdish that had been redeemed, also you can count as Mezumin. Again, the Gemara is going to ask, of course, that's what you're supposed to do with Hegdish. The Hashamish Ochel Kezayis, you have a shamus who was not actually eating together with the other people, he was serving them. But he ate a kezayis along with them, he also counts as a mezumin. The hakusi, where the shomronim, they were the people who came from Kuta, that's why they're called Kutim. They were relocated in the Shomron, and they were Goyim. And then they continued being Oved Avodah Zorah in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael can't stomach Oved Avodah Zorah, so lions came and started to decimate them. And the mice, they converted. They got Rabbonim to teach them and convert. And the Gemara has an outstanding machlokas throughout Shas, whether Kusim are Geri Emes or Geri Arayis, whether they only converted because they were afraid of the lions, so they really didn't convert L'Shem Shamayim, and therefore their conversion wasn't considered a real conversion. That's one opinion in Shas. And the other opinion is that Kusim or Geri Emes, that Enochinami, the incentive was because of the lions, but in the end, they did it L'Shem Shamayim, they were considered full Jews. And the Gemara says that any mitzvah that the Kusim L'Maisa accepted, they accepted even stronger than Klal Yisrael. They were much more machmer than we are. So a Kusi also can be counted for a Mezumin. L'Maisa, at one point, they found that the Kusim reverted back to Avodah Zorah, and they were Gozer on them. They should be considered like Goyim, and today, for all practical purposes, anybody who's a Kusi, which is a Shomronim, are considered Goyim, complete Goyim. Okay. But in the time of Chazal, the Kusim, at least according to the opinion that they were Geri Emes, they were Jews to begin with, because they converted properly, were considered Jews. Okay, so those are the people that I might think you can't be mezamin on them, and the halacha is that you can. However, ochal tevel, right, if you ate tevel, not demai, not something that an Am Haaretz said he took off Trumas and Maestras, but we have to be machmer and consider that he didn't, but something that Trumas and Maestras weren't taken off completely, right, it's tevel. Right, so no Trumas and Maestras were taken, or they weren't taken completely, that's tevel, it's also to eat, and since you ate something also, you can't count for a mezumin. Okay, we'll see whether you can make a bracha if you ate something that's also. But right now, the Gemara seems to be saying that you just can't make a mezumin. You can't be count for a mezumin, right? But it would be mashma lechora that a bracha you do make, right? Chiddush is ain't mezamnim. You can't make a zimun, but bracha you do make. We'll see. It's machlokas rishon. Umaisa rishon shalom nitla trumaso. If you took off maisa rishon. Okay, now from the Maiser Rishon, you have to take off Trumas Maiser. If you don't take off the Trumas Maiser, it's Osir to eat the Maiser Rishon. It remains Tevel. So if you ate Maiser Rishon, where the Trumas Maiser was not taken out of it, right, you're eating something that's Osir. So same thing, can't be Mezana. Umaiser Sheni, the Hekdish Shalom Niftu. Or if you had Maiser Sheni or Hekdish that you didn't redeem. The Maiser Sheni you eat outside Yerushalayim, if it's unredeemed, it's Osir to eat it. Hegdish that you didn't redeem, your chayiv me'ila for eating hegdish that you didn't redeem. Right, it's also to eat. But Hashamish ochel pachas megazayis, or Hashamish who wasn't eating with the people kavua, he was serving them, and he ate less than a kazayis, so he doesn't count together with them to be a mezumin. The hanochri and a goy ain't mezamin olav. All of these people you're not mezamin, and the Gemara is going to explain what the chiddush is. Of course, it's pashut. You can't be mezamin on a goy, right? Or on all these other things that you ate something osir. So Gemara is going to explain there was a chiddush in each one of them that I might think that it's okay because of the way that it was done. And kamash malon, no, even there it's you know not mezamim. Noshim va'avodim uktanim ein mezamim aleihem. Women, slaves, and children do not count for a mezumin. Right? We'll see if that means only together with men or even by themselves. Ad kama mezamim. How much do you have to eat that you're counted for a mezumin, and Rashi says, and can be motzi somebody else in the bracha, right? Ad kezayis, you have to eat at least a kezayis. Rav Yehuda Omer ad kebeya. Rav Meir holds ad kezayis. That's the Mishnah. This is Rav Meir, and Rav Yehuda says you have to eat a kebeya. Okay, and Rashi says it can't be talking about how much you have to eat to be mitzdarit for a zimun. Because the halacha is, even if you eat a very little bit, right, even if you just drink something, you could be mitzdarif for a zimun, right? So Rashi learns, look at Rashi, shlosha achlu lezamein lehizdamein yachad, lezamein means to gather together, litzrof bracha b'loshen rabim kagon nivorech, where they bench as a group, right? And the hakdama to benching is nivorech elokeinu, we're going to bench together. right? To be able to have that chashivas of doing it together, which is a mitzvah now that a rabbin is doing. Three people is considered a rabbin, so it's called mitzvah harabbin. It's that's the mile of zimun. You're benching the rabbin, right? A rabbin is benching. So how many do you need? How much do you have to have, and how much do you have to eat, and what do you have to eat to be able to have that mile? Shenitla truma so kasol gadaitach trumas meiser shelo shal halevi lahafrish. Now the Gemara thinks this is a very difficult Rashi, because the Gemara in the end ends up like that too. It's talking about trumaso means a trumas meiser that the Levi has to take out, what's it called, when he gets the meiser rishon. The Gemara is going to end in the end that it's not talking about where the Levi took it out, but where the person who has the tvua took it out before he gave it to the Levi, right? In any case, or he didn't have to take it out. But right now we think it's talking about where the Levi took out the trumas meiser from the meiser rishon that was given to him. Right? If you redeem the Maiser Sheni, can you eat it outside Yerushalayim? And the money that you redeemed it on, you bring to Yerushalayim and exchange it for food, and you eat that food, the Kedushas Maiser Sheni. So if you redeemed it, now the food is chulin, and if you eat it, you're chayiv lezami. The Hashamish is Misham Shom Besuda, the Shamish who serves, the waiter who's serving at the meal, the ochalimam kazayas, but as he was serving, he ate a kazayas, kedei litstarif imohem lezimun, in order that he should be mitstarif with them for zimun, uvechol hani itzrich lashmu'inan, afagav de domu le'isr, ein kan brocha badeira, ken mefarish va'ozul bigmara. Okay, even though these things appear to be something that's not 100% osur, but appears to be an Isra, as the Gemara explained by each one. And I might think, therefore, that the bracha that you made was ba'aveira, and therefore a bracha ba'aveira, you don't make. You don't say a zimun that's ba'aveira. People ate things that are asr, and they can't bench mizumin. Ad kama mizamin, kama yochal imohem, the ischayiv imohem bezimun. Right? How much do you have to eat in order to be able to mitstarif to this zimun? The nafkamina is, could you be motzi the other people? Because Rashi says clear that you don't have to eat so much to be mezamin, because one person could be mitzaref to others even if he ate a very small amount, even if he didn't eat any bread, he ate just drank. We'll see what the halachas are. So therefore, it can't be ad kama mizamnin means how much could you be mitzaref, because you can mitzaref even with less. How much could you mitzaref that you could be motzi the other ones yidei chovasim? So you need at least a kazayas or a kaveya to bench and be motzi other people. Tosfos brings down here that in the bracha rishona you could be be motzi. It's mashri from Rashi that without a zimun you can't be mitzaref, and you can't bench, what's it called, and be motzi somebody else. You can only be motzi somebody else in benching if there's a zimun. Tosfos says not true. Even if you have only two people away together, one could be motzi the other one. It's at least in bracha rishona, in hamotzi, because it's only drabanan, or because when they sit down together, right, they're being mitzaref together. Even two people, right, they can't be mitzaref for a zimun, but at least a mitzaref to eat. So one could be motzi the other one. Right. But benching could be that since their intention now is to separate, that unless you have three people, you can't bench, that one person should bench for the other. Each one has to bench for himself. Or it could be also that benching is deraisa, you need a zimun to be able to motzi one the other. Without a zimun, you can't be motzi other people. Okay. One person, we're knowing that the people don't make brachas, bracha rishon, the one for the other, right? They're mechalik. Okay. In any case, but if somebody doesn't know how to bench, right, then the halacha is that one person should be motzi the other person, but he should say word for word together with the person who's benching. Okay. Let's go on. Minani milek. We're back to our regular thing. No questions. Out of the habit, okay. Minani mile. How do you know that there's an idea of zimun? That if people eat together, they have to bench the mezuzah and have to add something as a preface to benching. Omer avasi do omer kra gadlu lashem iti unerome moshmo yachdov. You see a pasuk that says one person is speaking to a minimum of two other people. Gadlu, you, plural, lashem iti unerome moshmo yachdov, and we'll praise him together. So you see that three people praising Hashem together is a milah. It's a milah in one person telling two other people, let's praise Hashem together. So there's a milah benching together, like we said, it's a mitzvah derabbanan. Rebbe Avoh Amar Mihoch is another pasuk that basically says the same thing. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when I call out Shem Hashem, Havu Godel, you, plural, Havu Godel Elokeinu. It's also the same idea. One person calls out the Shem Hashem, the other people answer. That's a special mila of Rabin being mevarech l'kadosh baruch. Okay, Rashi. Minani mila d'shlosha ru'uyim lebirkas siruf. How do you know that a minimum of three people are roy already to be called a Rabin, that they can be mitzarif together to make a special bracha to the Rabbanu Shalom? Gadu l'ashem iti harishlosha. Right? You together with me. You plural is two. V'chein akra hovu godel. Ekra, Havu Godel, Hayochid Omer, Lishvayim. I'll call out, you answer, you, plural, is two, it's three. Okay. Omer of Chanan Bar Abba, Menayin La'ono Omein, Shelo Yagbiya Kolo Yosef Ben Amavarech. So once, since we brought these psukim down, we're going to learn another halacha we learned from these psukim. So Rav Chanan Bar Abba said, how do you know, or Chanan Bar Rava, is the, what's it called, the shield, just has the gears on the side. How do you know that when a person answers Amen, he shouldn't say Amen louder than the person who made the bracha? Shenemar, Gadlu Lashem Iti, Unerome Moshmo Yachdov. Right? You answer with me, together with me, but not higher than me. So when you answer Amen, answer the way I said the bracha, not louder. Omer of Shimon ben Pazi, Menayin She'en HaMetargim. Rishai lahagbia kolo yosef min akori. So since we mentioned the halacha that we learned from one of these psukim that we brought down about not answering amen louder than the mevarech, we're going to learn another halacha that is related to that. And that is just like the one amen is not allowed to say the amen louder than the mevarech, so too the metargein is not allowed to say louder than the kore. Okay? Shenemar Moshe Yadavir, Elokim Yanenu Bikol. Shein Talmud Lomer Bikol, Torah did not say Bikol, said Elokim Yanenu. Moshe spoke, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered. Ma Talmud Lomer Bikol, why did it say Yanenu Bikol? Bikol Lo Shel Moshe. The Rabbanu Shel Olam lowered or raised his voice, we'll see which one, right, to fit Moshe Rabbeinu's voice. Right, he didn't say louder. So one of them is the Kore, and one of them is the Metargein. And we learn from here that the Metargein should not raise his voice louder than the Kore. Okay. Tanya Nami Hochi will explain it. Ein HaMetargein Rishai Lagbia Kolo Yosef Ben HaKore. The Metargein is not allowed to raise his voice more than the Kore. The Mi'efshel HaMetargein Lagbia Kolo, and if the Metargein can't say it louder, Kenegin HaKore, Yimoy HaKore Kolo V'Yikra, then the Kore should say it lower. Somehow, either because the Kore says lower or the Metargim says louder, they have to come out the same loudness. Okay, we'll see what it means. Rashi. No Rashi. Okay, so first of all, Tosus says over here that comes out that Moshe was the Metargim, right? And the Rabbanu Shel Olam was the Kore. The Rabbanu Shel Olam, what's it called? He said the halachas, whatever, the parsha, and Moshe Rabbeinu was Metargim it to the people. Okay? So, it should be then that Moshe, who's the Metargim, should not raise his voice more than the Rabbanu Shel Olam, right? Not that the Rabbanu Shel Olam, what's it called, didn't raise his voice more than Moshe Rabbeinu, right? But Kolo Shel Moshe. So Tosfos explains like this, in the name of the Rif, that Mistama Moshe was talking at the top of his lungs. He was screaming, right, because the people had to hear him, right? He had to speak to 600,000 people, so he had to speak loudly. Okay, now the Rabbanu Shel Olam, when he spoke to Moshe, didn't have to scream. He's only talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. He could have said it very low. The fact that the Ribono Shel Olam said it loud, the way Moshe was saying it, teaches me that you have to have the Metargim can't say louder than the Kohen. Because if the Metargim could say louder than the Kohen, there was no need for the Ribono Shel Olam to raise his voice to Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, when the Ribono Shel Olam raised his voice to be equal to Moshe, right, it was, what's it called, a siman that if he didn't do that, Moshe wouldn't be allowed to raise his voice. So the Ribono Shel Olam raised his voice so Moshe could raise his voice. So that's how we learn, Tosa says, that the Metargim, right, is not allowed to be more than the Kohen. And that was necessitated the Ribono Shel Olam raising his voice. That's what they says in the name of the Rif. We'll see in a little while, as soon as we finish the Omid, that there's another sheet, the Lecha Mishnah in the Rambam, learns a little bit differently. Okay. So therefore, when you have a person reading the Torah, and the person who's Matargim, who says it in Aramaic, they should, their voices should be equal. One shouldn't be louder than the other. Okay? They're not doing it at the same time. Right, the person reads, and then the Metargim is Metargim. But they should read it with the same loudness. Okay. Right. Itmar. Shnaim sho'achlu ka'achas. Two people ate together. Plige Rav Rav Yochanan. So now you don't have three. You only have two. So Rav and Rav Yochanan argue. Chad Omer imrotzu l'zami mezamin. The Mishnah says clearly that in order to have a zimun, to be chayiv, chayovim l'zamin, you have to have three. What if you only have two? You don't have to bench from a zuman, but you could if you want to, or you can't at all. There's no such thing with two people to bench from a zuman. One says that you don't have to bench from a zuman, but two people could bench from a zuman if they want to. And one holds, no, there's no such thing as zimun by less than three people. It's not, okay. Zmar says, not. Shlosha shochu kachas chayovin lezamin. Shlosha in, shnayim lo. Right? Right? Says only three people have to mezamin. Mashma two people, there's no union of zimun at all. Zmar says, no. Hosam chova, hacharishus. No, the only thing you can tell me from the Mishnah is that three people have to bench from a zuman. But you don't see anywhere in the Mishnah that three people can't, that two people can't bench from a zuman, just they don't have to. Toshma, shlosha shochlu kachas, chayovim lezamein, ve'ein reshoyim lechalik. Okay? Shlosha in, shnayim lo. Right? It says that three people who eat together have to bench from a zuman, and they can't break up. Okay? So Mar says three yes, but two not. Mashma that two people could break up, right? So what's it called? What's the problem? Two of them can still bench from a zuman if they want to, right? So Tosa says lechora, what's the raya from here, right? Lechora, you have to. They can't break up because one of them is not going to be mezamen. You can have one and two. So the two may be able to bench from a zuman. But the one guy is, what's it called, still going to be missing off Mizuman. So they can't split up, not because of the two. They can't split up because of the one. Okay? So Tosa says the Iker is on the Seifa. The Seifa says that four people can't split up. Okay? Now, the Gemara just brought this down as the beginning of a Brisa that we have later, but the end of the Brisa is four people also can't split up. Okay? Lechora, why not? Split up two and two, and each of them can be mezamin by themselves. So what's it called? So what's the problem? So the kash is not from the case that the Gemara speaks about. And Tosfos brings that there are other situations like that where we ask the ikar from the sefer, even though it's mashma that what's it called the kash is from the ration. It doesn't even bring down the sefer. But the ikar is from the fact that four people can't split up either. So you see that two and two can't bench mezumin at all. Because if they could, each pair could bench from a zuman. You didn't lose anything. Samara says no. Ashani hosim de kavulu bechova mikara. No, like when two people can bench voluntarily, but it doesn't count like you had three. It's not equal to three. It's a lower level of mezuman. So if people ate together, if four people ate together, so they're chayev in the higher level of mezuman, they can't split up and have the lower level. But Mamaisa, if you want to, they could voluntarily, if two people ate, they could voluntarily have mezumin. But it's not on the same level as three people. So if you had four, They have to stay together, so they have the higher level of mezuman, not the lower level of mezuman. Toshma, hashamish oy mishamish al hashnayim, hariza ochel imohem, afo pisha lo nosim lo rishus. A shamish that was waiting on people, and they didn't give him permission to eat with them. So he's allowed to eat, even if, they gave him no permission. Why? Because this way they can have a mezuman. He can be mitzarif with them for mezuman. So because of the mezuman, they don't have to give him permission, right? We assume that they want to have a mezuman. So he can eat without permission. But if he was waiting on three people who have mezuman without him, that he can't assume that they want him to eat with them because they need a mezuman, they don't need a mezuman. So it's for only his benefit to eat, so he needs permission to be able to eat. So the hora mashma that the first two couldn't be mezamin by themselves because they need the shamas to make a zimun. Like we said, better they should have a higher level of zimun than the lower level of zimun. True, two is a mezuman, but it's not equal to three. So they'd rather have a mezuman of three than just a mezuman of two. So there's no raya from here. Okay, Rashi. Eidob rishayim l'chalik u'levorech kol echad li'atzmo d'mafkilei l'torah zimun. Right? They can't split up because they're losing the zimun. Shlosha in shnayim lo hachi perusha. Miktani ein rishayim l'chalik. The fact that it says they can't split up. Shma minah d'shlosha mezamnim shnayim ein mezamnim. You hear from here that three people are mezamnim, not two. Even if they want to, they can't be mezamin. Because if you would hold that two people voluntarily could make a zimun, right? Why can't they split up? Let him go, right? And he's not preventing them from being mezamin. They can be mezamin on their own. So why can't the one leave? Okay. The Maisa says he can't leave because he needs to be a Zeva Zimun, right? But it's mashma, it's also for the sake of the other two that are left. Shani Hasam dehukbu bechova mikora. The Ozel hu mafkas luchova. If the one leaves, he's leaving those two to a voluntary Zimun, which is not on the same level as a mandatory Zimun. The Kamalu b'shus, the Godl hamitzuva v'yosa, mishenu mitzuva v'yosa. What's the mile of a three? Because it's a chova. And God will have mitzvah v'yosu, misha eino mitzvah v'yosu. Ocheli mohem, ein kan gaiva, denicha lohu, demaisi lohu lidei zimun. It's not presumptuous of the shamas to eat without permission, because he can take on, they want him to eat, because they want to mezumen. The ishnai mezamnim, amei nicha lohu, belav didei nomi boi mezamnim. And if two people can bench mezumen, what do they need him for? So it is presumptuous. They can't bench even the mezuman if they want to. Verse says no. The nichlu the miklu bechove. The god love it also, like we said. From Rashi is interesting. I didn't see anybody's medayik in it, but I would say that the reason why three is bigger than two is because it's more of a rabbin. The whole idea of benching mezuman is you should have a rabbin, right? So three is always considered a rabbin. Another for two, suffik tum brishus a rabbin. You three people is considered a rabbin. Two people is not considered a rabbin. So two people is not really a rabbin, but it's more than one. So, but three is already a rabbin. So that's why the benching of three is bigger than the benching of two. It's a bigger rabbin. It's more of a rabbin than two. Right? But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi doesn't say it's the mila of two over three that can be considered a rabbin. It's only this one's bechova and this one's rishus. And god lametzuva v'yosa. So I don't know why Rashi didn't say parshat, that it's more people. And not only more people, but three is considered a rabbin. Two is never considered a rabbin. So two, you don't have that mile of doing it barabim. I don't know exactly right. No, Maris is saying that when you don't have a rabbin, you don't have to bench from the zomim, but you can. No, because again, like we said, it's two is not a rabbin, but it's more than one. So therefore, there's an inyan. Instead of as a yachid doing it, at least you're not a yachid. Okay, you're not a rabbin, but you're not a yachid. Right, a yachid doing it is lower than two people doing it, because they're lemaisa, they're not a yachid. Two people doing a mitzvah together is also something. Three people already have the mile of rabbin. Okay, so I'm not sure 100% why. Okay, so there's a little bit here to discuss here, a few minutes. First of all, the ein ha mitargim yochlag biokol yosu min ha korim. Okay, so we said Tosus in the name of the Rif. The Marsha says, Lulei Divrei Tosus of the Rif, he would say differently. He would say, the only problem is that the Tosus took on that the Rabbonu Shel Olam is the Korei, and Moshe is the Matargim. So that's a problem that, you know, why did the Rabbonu Shel Olam have to make his voice equal to Moshe? We want to bring Uriah, the Matargim can't make his voice louder than the Korei, right? We're bringing Uriah from what the Rabbonu Shel Olam did, he's the Korei. So Tosus explained how it works. The Marsha said, I would say that Moshe was the Korei, and the Rabbonu Shel Olam was the Matargim. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said what he had to say to the people, the Lashon HaKodesh, but not everybody understood Lashon HaKodesh. So the Rabbonu Shel Olam said it in Shivim Lashonos, that everybody could understand. He was Matargim what Moshe said. So when Moshe said it over, the Rabbonu Shel Olam then was Matargim it into 70 Lashonos. So it says that the Rabbonu Shel Olam said his Tirgum, the Kolo Shel Moshe, the same decibel of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's an easier way of learning. The Lecha Mishnah asks on Tosfos, he says, it doesn't make any sense. The Matargim is the person who's saying the Shir to the Rabbi. The Korei, Pashtus, is the person who's saying the Shir to the Matargim. So he can say it to the Rabbi. Okay? The Matargim is like the microphone. Okay? He gives it to the Rabbi. It doesn't make any sense that the Matargim can't say it louder than the Korei. The Korei is speaking to him. The Matargim is speaking to the Rabbi. Of course he has to speak louder. Right? It can't be such a halacha that the Matargim who's speaking to the Tzibur can't speak louder than the person speaking to him. Or, alternately, that the Korei should scream it out when the Tzibur doesn't have to hear him, only the Matargim has to hear it. Okay? I would say that there's a svara in that in a shir like that. Because the people should hear, even though they don't understand 100% what the Korei says. He's not a good speaker, right? And the Matargim is going to have to put it into a tzura that the people can listen to it, but they should hear that the Korei said it. They shouldn't have a what's it called, a chshash, that maybe the Matargim is not saying what the Korei said. So they should hear the same level that the Matargim is saying, right? But then it should be that the Korei should say at the same level as the Matargim, not that the Matargim, what's it called, can't say louder than the Korei. Right? It should be that the Korei has to say as loud as the Matargim, not the opposite way. Okay, in any case, he brings the Rambam, he says, the pshat's like this, that when, what's it called, Moshe was speaking to the Rabbonu Shel Olam, right, then the Rabbonu Shel Olam didn't speak louder than Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. That's when they were speaking together. Nobody was speaking to the Rabbin. Either they were speaking together, so the same thing also, when the Matargim is speaking to the Korei, speaking to the person of the Magid Shir, and he's asking him, you know, to explain exactly what he said so he could say it over, then they should speak at the same decibel. But for sure, when the Matargim speaks to the Tzibur, he speaks louder than the Korei spoke. Right? But when they speak together, or in a case where they're both speaking to Tzibur, like Kriyas HaTorah, right? Somebody's reading the Torah, and somebody's Matargim the Torah. They should say it at the same level. Where both are doing it to the Tzibur, or both are doing it privately, they should have the same voice. Where one's for the Tzibur and one's privately, then they can have a different decibel. Obviously, the one who's speaking to Tzibur is louder than the one, and that's how he says the Rambam Paskins. When it comes to what's it called, where they're speaking not to the Tzibur, both of them, or yes to the Tzibur, both of them, they should have the same decibel. Where they're, what's it called, one is speaking to Tzibur and one is speaking to the other one, then for sure they have different decibels. That's how he learns in the Rambam. Okay, one second. The Mechaber brings down this halacha legabe Korei Matargim, but not Rav and a Matargim, because it's not Shchiach that we have a Rav and a Matargim, what's it called, people giving the shear and then giving the shear over, right, with one person who gives everything. So, therefore he didn't bring down the other one, and Bizman Hazeh Bechlau, we're not, people don't understand the Targum, so we're not Matargim, so the whole thing is pretty much irrelevant. Okay, next thing. We have a few minutes. Should we do it, or should we wait till tomorrow? I think we'll wait till the next thing is what's called bracha on davar ha'asur. Do you make a bracha on something that's asur to eat or not? And that will save us. Not that long, but we'll save it for tomorrow anyway.